So cleaning the meditation room and setting up a shrine, this is a little bit like helping us transition. Like I said, if we have had a busy day, we want to meditate, successfully, probably better than just immediately plonking ourselves down on our cushion or our chair or whatever and starting, have a little transition time. Just get the room ready, clean it a little bit. You know, it doesn't have to be spring clean, but just make sure it's tidy. That helps our mind be a bit clear. And then the shrine, again, you know, this, it elevates us. It reconnects us with our spiritual aspirations. You know, like it's very easy in life to get caught up in the mundane and be worried about the immediate and a little bit lose sight of who do I want to be? Where do I want my life to be going to? You know, what is it for? Like a lot of what we're doing in meditation is we are elevating ourselves. We are connecting with a deeper sense of purpose for our life. And so a shrine, on that shrine, you know, for example, as a Buddhist, I have images of Buddha, which are my aspirational figures. That's my role model. That's what I want to emulate. You know, I want to become that kind, that loving, that peaceful, that pure, that wise, that forgiving. And so it's immediately upon seeing those images, it's sort of elevating the mind. You know, having a special place where we meditate is very valuable. Many of you who, if you've attended classes at the temple and in-person classes will be resuming next week, then maybe you've had the experience where the meditation in the temple just feels so much more powerful than when we meditate at home. And of course, some of that is to do with the fact that the temple is a blessed space. You know, there's so much meditation and purity that's happened in that place. But we can recreate that at home, you know. Some of the reason why meditating in the temple is so powerful is just the psychological preparation of going to the temple. We haven't just started to meditate. We've made a journey, a physical journey, to a place that is for meditation. We can have a space in our home that's my meditation space. And like the temple has these beautiful aspirational images of the enlightened beings, we can have those in our space. And it will elevate our mind. Venerable Geshe says something very beautiful. I find this very beautiful about how we can engage with the images of Buddha. And images of Buddha are incredibly popular, not just for Buddhists who use them as a sort of spiritual tool for their meditation, but in general, like so many people have Buddha images. They wouldn't regard themselves as Buddhas, but the form of Buddha, the shape, the appearance, pacifies the mind. There's something about that. You know, Buddha is in fact inhabiting those statues. There's something, Buddha's essence is in whatever statue it is, you know, that just radiates some calm. Venerable Geshe says, one of the best methods to increase our faith in the Buddhas and to receive their blessings is to gaze at an image of Buddha again and again, regarding it as an actual Buddha who is supremely kind to all living beings. When we see a Buddha statue, for example, instead of thinking of it as an object made of metal or stone or focusing on its artistic faults or merits, we should feel that we are in the presence of a real living Buddha and develop deep faith. By viewing images of Buddhas in this way, it is as if we are opening a window in our mind through which the blessings of the holy beings can enter. This special way of viewing Buddha images is based on wisdom, not ignorance, and serves to increase our faith and receive blessings. So we can just sit with a statue of Buddha and just connect with that peace, with that enlightenment. Now, we don't need to be in a rush, pushing all the time. We can just calm. You know, there's something about the tranquility of that posture, of that pose, of that aspect, that we can just tune ourselves to that. opening a window in our heart through which blessings will come in. So then we sit, and we can sit cross-legged or on a chair or whatever posture is comfortable. Most important is we keep our back straight. This helps us to stay alert. That's the energy to flow freely. We can close our eyes, leaving a little light to enter beneath the eyelids. That's very helpful. All of these things you can read more detail about if you like. And then we get to, obviously, then we do the breathing meditation. And part of, it's described as part of sitting. We sit and we calm the mind. Yeah. So we do like a breathing meditation, getting the mind still, getting the mind clear. It's like if we want to change the color of a cloth, maybe we've got some, I don't know, we've got some dark blue jeans, and for some reason we want them to be, I don't know, bright yellow. You can't just throw the dark blue jeans in the wash with a whole bunch of yellow dye. They won't come out they won't come out bright yellow. They'll come out some sort of dingy green, brown, something horrible. So the first thing we need to do is a little bit take whatever is in already out, so that there's room for something new to come in. So we sit down, there's all sorts of stuff going on. Calm. Let it go. Just let it go. We're not bullying the mind. We're not sort of pressurizing, stop thinking. It's not like that. It's just sort of, okay, let go. I don't need to think about that now. I don't need to deal with that now, fix that now. I don't need to decide about that now. Just take some time. Just let it. You know, it's almost like letting like a highly carbonated drink lose its fizz. You know, you open a bottle of some, you know, very sparkling water or something, and it's... And maybe that's how it is when we first sit down. Thought, think, plan. Let it do its thing. Eventually it'll settle, and there's just few little bubbles flowing.